Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, one of my absolute favorite things to do as a pastor here at St. John's is actually something we call premarital counseling. When a couple comes in and says, hey, we'd like to get married, we'd like you to perform the wedding, I say, of course, you betcha absolutely will do it. But before the big day, we need to sit down and have a half a dozen or so of these premarital counseling sessions. At these sessions, we talk about and even practice skills that we believe will lead to a more God-pleasing and ultimately satisfying marriage. And one of the skills we absolutely practice is putting together a good monthly budget as a couple. Every study out there shows that this is a real boost to a marriage when a couple has good budgeting skills that they work on together. Now, to help a couple put together good budgets, often what I will do is show them examples of some obviously bad budgets, and we'll talk about what went wrong. And one of my favorite bad budgets to show them is the one that I am about to show you. It's a guy who has posted his financial crisis online. Let's see if we can figure out what went wrong with this poor man's finances. I'll read it to you if you can't see it. He says each month he spends $200 on food, $150 on internet, $800 on rent, $150 on utilities, and then he says he spends $3,600 on candles. And he proceeds to say, someone who is good at the economy, please help me budget this. My family is dying. Now, obviously, we can see what has gone wrong here. And the comment underneath it points it out. They say, hey, maybe you should spend less money on candles. And I love this man's response. He simply replies by saying, no, I will make budget cuts elsewhere. Please do not make me spend less money on my precious, precious candles. Now, obviously, and I hope you understand this, but this is probably not a real budget. It's probably fake. But if it were real, this man's bad budgeting decisions would be causing the ones that he loves the most to absolutely suffer. And you want a sad truth, St. John's family? And many of us make similarly bad, obviously bad budgeting decisions. Maybe not when it comes to how we spend our money, but certainly when it comes to how we budget the precious time that God has entrusted to us. This is a precious resource that we are to be taking care of, and yet many of us make obviously bad budgeting decisions with our time. And when we do that, it causes the ones who we love and love us the most to suffer. We are hurting our most important relationships by making obviously bad decisions with our time. Today, we're going to look at our gospel lesson once again, that story of Martha and Mary and Jesus. And we are going to look at an example of someone making an obviously bad decision with how they budget their time. And I hope it will help us make better budgeting decisions with our time in the future. Our reading begins at Luke 10:38 with these words. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary. Now, this Martha and Mary, they're the ones who are sisters with Lazarus, the man who Jesus raises from the dead in John chapter 11. And they have a very, very special relationship with Jesus, this family does. In fact, in John 11:5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And while you can bet that Jesus loves the whole world, he has a very special relationship with this family in an earthly sense. So special that they are regular guests, or I should say Jesus is a regular guest at their house. In our reading today, Martha has opened up the family home to them. And it says that she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. In our story today, in case you missed it in that brief verse or two, Martha is busy. She's busy, busy, busy. She's got so much to do to get ready to serve Jesus a little dinner. And she's so busy that she has become distracted, it says, and she is not listening to a single thing that Jesus is saying. And it's easy to become distracted, isn't it? Some of you are probably distracted right now. I love to give a couple statistics, as you know, and Microsoft did a study not too long ago that found that the average human being has an attention span right around 8.25 seconds. That's not good. 8.25 seconds that the average human being can make it without getting distracted by a fleeting thought while they're trying to pay attention to someone or something. Now, I don't know how they figured this out, but according to this same study, the average goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. And it is not good when you are losing to a goldfish in a brain competition at all. As I said, it's easy to become distracted. It makes me wonder how many are paying attention to me right now. And it's no wonder that Martha finds herself distracted. She's thinking about everything she has to do, what hasn't been done yet, all the things on her big to-do list. Her heart starts beating faster. She starts breathing a little harder. Her blood pressure is rising, and then she looks at Mary, her little sister, perhaps, and her blood begins to boil over. And she thinks to herself, how could she? How could she just be sitting there at Jesus' feet like that with everything we have to do? Doesn't she see that I am so busy right now? Now, God bless her. That's exactly what Mary's doing. She is just sitting there at Jesus' feet, and I don't want you to miss how special of an act this is. In this time and place, in this Jewish culture, amongst Jesus' people, if you sat at someone's feet while they taught you, you were indicating something special about your relationship to them. You were saying, that is my rabbi, and I am their disciple. A very special, intimate relationship, and this is even more so special by the fact that at this time, women were not allowed to have rabbis. So what Mary is doing and saying, Jesus is my rabbi, and what Jesus is doing and saying, Mary is my disciple, it was a pretty radical act. And if anyone should have been excited about this, you would think it would be Martha, but she's just getting more and more upset by the moment. She's got the vacuum in one hand. She's trying to put the roast in the oven in the other. She's looking at the clock. Tick, tick, tick. We're running out of time. And then she can't keep it to herself anymore. She goes over to Jesus, who, by the way, is the God of the universe. She puts her finger in his face and she tells him what he should be doing. She says, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. We would never tell God what to do like that, would we? Now, I always really love this story, and I think I love it a lot because I have siblings, and I think I can see some pretty typical sibling dynamics at play. The Bible actually doesn't say, but this is how I always imagine it, that Martha is the older sister and that Mary is the younger sister. That just seems to be the way they're acting. And Martha, she probably, as an adult older sister, didn't immediately go and tattle to Jesus. No, she probably went to Mary first and was like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? It's not every day that we have the Son of God in our house. Can't you get off your butt and just do something for a minute? To which Mary maybe responded in little sister fashion, nah, you know, I'm good, all right. In fact, if you review, let's go back and look at Luke 10:38. I believe that you are the one that invited Jesus over. Maybe you should just do the work. I'm fine just sitting here at his feet. Now, when we read this story for the first time, so often when I'm studying the Bible with other people, they'll really identify with Martha. And they'll say, you know, Martha, she seems to be the good guy in this story. Look how hard she's working. She is just trying to serve the Lord. And it's Mary that needs to grow up. But listen to how Jesus responds to Martha's complaint. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I'll have you note here, Jesus is not scolding Martha. This is not some stunning rebuke of her behavior. This is loving advice, lovingly given to someone whom Jesus cares about very much. He says, Martha, Martha. In this Jewish culture, when you repeated a name like that, it was done for emphasis. It almost always means that you feel great love and affection for the person or the people to whom you are speaking. And it means that the point you are about to make, you believe that it is very important. And Martha would have understood this when Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, Martha, and it's making you upset. Look at you. You are an absolute mess. But don't you see, Martha? Only one thing is needed, and it's the one thing that Mary has chosen. And what did Mary choose to do on that day? That one thing she did was sitting at Jesus' feet, simply listening to and spending time with her Lord and Savior." Let's use that thought as a springboard into the rest of this message. I've been hinting around a word this whole time. I'm going to flat out say it: stewardship. That is what we are talking about today. Stewardship is the responsible management and care of everything that is God's that He entrusts to us. And according to Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Which means we could add on to our definition a little bit, couldn't we? Stewardship is the responsible management and care of everything that is God's that He entrusts to us. And since everything is God's, we should be taking care of and using everything in our lives how He, the true owner, would want us to use it. That time that you have, that is God's time, each and every second of your day. And so you should be consistently asking the question, "God, what would you have me do with what is yours? What should I be doing with your time?" And if you look at our story today, it's pretty obvious that first and foremost, He wants you to spend it with Him. I'll point something out here as we look at this story. Martha's choice to serve Jesus and to serve all those who are around her, it wasn't a bad choice in and of itself. That's a good thing, by the way. We want you to serve Jesus and others. But because she was skipping the better choice in her day, it had left her a mess. She was anxious. She was upset. She was worried. She was distracted because she wasn't making the better choice and spending time with Jesus. And St. John's family, I want to help you make the better choice as we go forward from today. And I've got three pieces of advice for the rest of this message that I think if you follow them, they will absolutely help you make the better choice. First, I think you can make the better choice by putting first things first. When you go to make your schedule each and every day, and by the way, this is a good practice, making a daily schedule. It helps you be less aimless with God's time that He has entrusted to you. When you make your daily schedule, place time with God on there first. So often what we do is we let our day fill up with rice, right? And then we try to fit those ping pong balls in afterwards. And in doing so, when we do that, we aren't giving God our best. We're giving Him our leftovers, if indeed there is anything left over to give Him. But when you put first things first, you're going to fit those ping pong balls in there much better, aren't you? Now, what I mean by this is not necessarily that you need to get up and spend the first 15, 20 minutes of your day in prayer and worship and Bible study. What I mean is when you look at your day, you write in time with God in there first somewhere, and then you stick to that schedule. For me, I love spending time with God first thing in the morning. Prayer, worship, Bible study, it helps center my day. It helps me understand God's will for my day better. Maybe for you, you look at your day and say, "You know what? I've got an hour commute to work, and I can listen to my Bible readings in the car and listen to worship music in the car." Maybe for you, it's at lunch break when you have the best time to spend with God. You mark that down as the first thing that you're going to do in your day. You say, "Hey, it helps me get ready for that second half of the day after that lull there at lunch." Maybe for you, you like spending time with God right before bed. The Psalms, they help you sleep a little better at night. Whatever it is, put first things first. Mark that in your schedule as the first thing that you're going to dedicate any time to in your day and stick to it. You say, "Pastor Ryan, I get you. I hear you. You've given us this lecture before up there. But don't you understand I'm a busy person? I've got young kids who wake me up before the crack of dawn, and then I'm either working or watching them for the rest of the day. My day, it's just too full to spend regular time with Jesus. I've tried. I just can't quite make it work. If that is you, I hear you. I'm in a busy season myself right now. It's about to get a little busier probably over the next week or so when we introduce another little Ryan to this congregation here. But answer me this. How good of a dad will I be if I am not spending regular time with Jesus? In fact, we all wear many hats, don't we? How good will we be at any of those roles if we're not spending regular time with Jesus? How good will you be as a husband, or a wife, or a child, or a parent, or a friend, or a neighbor, or a coworker, or an employee, or a boss, or whatever it is, if you are not spending regular time with the Lord? St. John's family, St. John's family, it is to your benefit and to the benefit of those that you love the most when you spend regular time with Jesus. When you hear regularly what Jesus did for you and what God's plan for you is, you become a better parent, a better child, spouse, friend, neighbor, boss, employee, etc. And one of the absolute best ways you can stick to making the better choice is by putting first things first. When you do that, you'll get God's will for your life, and you'll regularly be, at least according to our story today, less anxious, distracted, and worried. So you can make the better choice by putting first things first. Second, you can make the better choice by learning a little word here. No. No. We only have 24 hours entrusted to us each and every day, and if you don't learn to say no to some things, that time is going to fill up pretty fast, isn't it? What are some things that you might want to say no to in your life? Well, maybe you have your own version of $3,600 worth of candles going on somewhere as you budget your time. And that $3,600 worth of candles, it's keeping you from spending regular time with the Lord. Those are the things that you might want to practice saying no to. Maybe for you, you look at your schedule, you look at how you're budgeting your time, and you're saying, wow, I'm spending 70 hours a week at work. Maybe you want to say no to your boss on occasion. Maybe Sunday mornings you get that update that tells you how long you spend on your phone each and every day, and it says 5.5 hours. Maybe you need to learn how to say no to your phone. Maybe you've got a couple kids that are doing travel sports, and you find as you look at your schedule that you've been gone 19 of the last 20 weekends because you have 2 games on Saturday and 2 games on Sunday. Maybe what you need to say no to is your kids' sports teams and put them in something that's a little more local and less rigorous and strenuous. I will point out that just like with Martha's choice to serve Jesus and those around her, that wasn't a bad choice. But because she was making that choice and it was filling up her entire schedule, she was missing the better choice. These are not necessarily bad choices in and of themselves up here. Working's good. We're not supposed to be idle. You gotta feed your family, right? Those phones that you have, they're not bad things in and of themselves. They help us remain connected in special ways, don't they? And you know I love sports, right? And I think sports teach kids very valuable skills and lifelong skills at that. But if these things are filling up your schedule to the point that you are not spending time with the Lord, making the better choice because of them, you might need to say no to them, at least in part. So you can make the better choice by putting first things first, by learning to say no. And finally, you can make the better choice by remembering what Jesus did with his time. Jesus had 33 years here on earth. And what did he do with his time? He said no to the things of this world so that he could say yes to you. Jesus spent his time here living a perfect life, and then he took his perfect self to the cross where he spent his time on it, dying a gruesome death just for you to pay for all of the times that we don't put God and his will first. And because of his perfect life and then perfect death on the cross, he won for you all the time in the world to spend with God. You can now have a relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever. And when you think about that kind of love, I bet you it'll encourage you to want to spend even more time with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And obviously, my prayer for you this week is that you do just that. May God empower you to put first things first. May he help you to say no where you need to say no. And may you remember each and every day how Jesus spent his time here just for you. May it empower you to spend time with your Lord and Savior. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.